On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, do both conference finals see the brooms? Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 64, the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Croshaw joining you today. Chase, how are you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good overall. Just hanging out. It was very, very productive day for me. Didn't get a lot of sleep, but it was weird. I've been sleeping relatively good these last couple of days, but when I've been sleeping good, I feel like I've had less production. Except for minus last night, I was really busy, but the last couple of days, prior just felt like they were kind of a little light. Then today, I'm running off like 3 hours, and it was like one of the most productive days I've had in the last couple of months. So like maybe I truly am built to sleep as little as possible.
Funny how those things work, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't get it, man. It sucks. I walk around being tired all the time, but like I just troop through it. But then when I'm rested, it's like, that was so good. Why don't I just get more of that? And then I get nothing done.
It might be one of those where you're so tired that the only thing keeping you awake is being productive. I don't know.
Maybe.
Could be a correlation there. Who knows?
It could be. It very well could be.
Dude, I am exhausted. I'm ready to do nothing because today, as you see, the exhaustion already kicking in. Long day at work. And then as I get out at 5, I sit in line for an oil change for 2 hours and finally get out of that and just finish eating dinner, and now here we are recording again. So I am ready to sleep tonight, but I am very excited because we got one more day of work Thursday, and then we've got a half day Friday, but it is also kind of a party Friday morning in my department. So it's really not like we're having a day at all, and then I come home to Michigan. So it's going to be a good time once we get there, but one more day to track through and I'm ready to get there. Let's get this week over and get me home for the weekend. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're excited, and a lot of people are excited because they might get that longer weekend even if it's just Monday. Some people are getting Friday too. Well, my weekend is quite opposite because mine is slammed. I am up at like 6 a.m. every day and lucky to go to bed at midnight. Like I'm getting at her because it's a big hockey weekend for us for what we got to do. So yeah, I'm gonna be slightly occupied, which again I'm not gonna complain too much because I'm getting to do something really fun, something that I love. But it's gonna be a lot of hours over just a couple of days.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing about being in that type of career path, because there's days where, when's your slow month? June, July?
Oh, dude, June and July, there isn't a damn thing going on. There's like one, we'll go to scouting events, and there's one that we'll go to in June, and it's Vegas. So, okay, like,
well,
you're going to go watch some hockey, but remember, it's Vegas. So June and July, it's like, other than Vegas, it's like nothing.
Yeah, so it's a weird one because you're probably going to be working holidays, obviously working Memorial Weekend hard, where us normal people in the old office setting, we get those days off. But then again, come July, 18th, hopefully that's not a weekend, we're going to be in office. You're going to be chilling. So, Andy, love what you do. So there's a caveat as well.
Well, I'm not going to complain. And I want to say that's either like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And don't ask me why I know that.
Perfect. All right. Well, today on the Bolts broadcast. You're so dumb.
Sorry.
You're so dumb.
Go ahead.
Today on the Bolts broadcast, going to be talking about the conference finals, what we're looking at. We talked about how we thought it was close in the last episode. We'll tell you exactly why that's not the case here in a second. Then after the commercial break, talk about GM of the Year finalists, little world championship check-in, who's looking good there, who's not looking so hot. So let's start with the conference finals. Tonight, we could potentially see our first team making the Stanley Cup as the Florida Panthers currently up 1-0 in game 4, in which they already lead the series 3-0.
Yeah, it's it's wild, dude. So going into this playoffs, like basically everybody said, yeah, Boston's beating Florida, we're moving on. All like the big panelists, I think of the ESPN ones that made brackets, only one said Florida was going to win, you know, that type of thing. It's so they squeaked through that first round, and now they're just rolling. They've rolled through this series. It's been a really, really good hockey series, really, really close games. And, you know, Florida plays, you know, the way they play the game, it's kind of like the Islanders, but a little more exciting, where it's really like mitigating risk offensively and defensively, but there's still a little more opportunities that are had. So they're just playing really good championship level hockey right now. And it would not have even, you know, begun to say that, especially when they were playing the 65 win Boston Bruins. But here, 13:24 left in the first period. Still a lot to go, but Florida has looked pretty good. They scored 41 seconds into the game, and that, you know, that gives you a ton of momentum, especially while being at home. So this very well could be done before, you know, before this even releases.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing to me is when you look at the best teams in the league, they win those close games. I don't think anyone thought Florida was one of the best teams in the league coming into the playoffs, but they are not dropping these close games. They have beaten Carolina by one goal in every single game, which is just stupid. And a lot of it, obviously, Matthew Tkachuk, who we mentioned last episode, Sergei Bobrovsky, who we mentioned last episode as well. But did you see the crazy stat about Sergei Bobrovsky, who said he loses about 15 pounds every single game?
Yeah.
And then also... Yeah. He lost 20 pounds in, what was it, game one or was it game three? Game one, I think. He lost 20 pounds.
Which, like, sorry, I'm yawning. Like, did you see, like, the before and after pictures of him in the locker room?
Yeah, he's tiny.
Yeah, dude. I guess he's not lying. Like, it actually happens. And, like, I, you know, I'm far from, you know, some sort of scientist. I don't know body science. So, like, I'm intrigued to know how that can happen. So, like, to such an a wild extent, it's crazy to look at. You know, I remember seeing something years ago about, like, you know, LeBron was playing on a severely swollen ankle or something, where like his ankle, you know, he added like 8 pounds of just pure fluid to his ankle during the game. I was like, dude, that's crazy. But I could see how that might happen because your body's not excreting against going to your foot. But to lose like 15 pounds, like, holy hell.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when I'm thinking about UFC fighters, MMA fighters. What they'll do is they'll dehydrate themselves to all hell when leading up to a weigh-in, and they'll wrap towels around themselves, make it really hot, obviously. I can't imagine the goalie gear is very cool. And obviously, no, you're playing on ice, but you're doing so much activity in all that gear. So, I mean, it makes sense, but 15 pounds every game and then 20 pounds in the one game, like that's just different.
It's absolutely just, I can't fathom it. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind at the top, as you said, like with the whole goal equipment thing and it being warmer, and, you know, say, even though it's still ice, yeah, obviously it is ice. Like, it's a sport of hockey, but, you know, if you go to a local rink, you know, like for us, you know, we have the Onyx down the street. That's not a, you know, traditionally super cold rink, but it can be cold at times. Where there's some other rinks like Fraser, that's just down the street from us as well. That's a really cold rink. And you feel that from the stands all the way down to the ice surface. Well, you go into these professional venues, you don't feel cold in the stands. Like you feel pretty comfortable. Sometimes you might feel a little warm. For whatever reason, you might feel cold, but it's very rare that you will. So the ice conditions are a little different. They spend a lot more money on treating the ice to make sure that, you know, it's up to quality, up to standard, but it still is different temperatures and stuff. So it's, you know, generally at least a little bit warmer than like what the average rink is going to be playing on an NHL ice surface or any of those bigger ice surfaces. So like they're also sweating more just because of that too. So all that said and done, like I can understand that you're like sweating more, but it doesn't add up to me losing that much weight. It really doesn't. That's just, it's still just crazy to think.
Yeah, it's absurd. And it's also absurd seeing the Carolina Hurricanes have such a tough time with the Florida Panthers. I mean, they tore up the New Jersey Devils. It was not a close series. Games were, you know, 5-6 goal differentials. Like, they were wrecking the Devils. Then they come in against the Panthers, and the most goals they put up is 3. But when you look at the series overall, they have... No, excuse me, 2. The most goals, or in the whole series, I should say, they have 3 total goals. So they've been struggling big time to put up the points, and obviously Sergei Bobrovsky a big part of that.
He's just killing it, dude. It's his Conn Smythe to lose at this point.
All right, let's go to the next series, one that we thought was likely the closer of the two. It looked like game 2 was going to go the way of the Stars. Not the case, as they went to overtime again. That was 4 games to start this round of the playoffs that all went to overtime. So that was pretty crazy, but goes to overtime. Golden Knights take it. This next game, they take 4-0. It hasn't been very close in the last little bit of game, and when you see what the Dallas Stars are doing out there on the ice, they're frustrated.
Yeah, especially in this game 3, Vegas was just the better hockey team, and Dallas, this is where we're going to start talking a lot more about, the shit about this game, because this game had a lot of shit go down. Dallas kind of shot themselves in the foot, a minute and a half into the game. Their captain, Jamie Benn, decides to, he claims, use the guy below him to push himself up, but in everyone else's eyes, he lays a vicious cross check on a vulnerable player laying on the ice and gets himself, kicked out of the game for it, as he very well should have. First time Jamie Benn's gone down in a while, if anybody knows that reference. But anywho, with all that happening, there's been, there was a really big kerfuffle. A bit of a skirmish after the play. People kind of get in the fights as they do after those types of things. Jamie Benn got a 2-game suspension out of it. Max Domi got a fine out of it. It was just, an absolute nightmare from that point kind of going forward. There were more and more penalties as the night went on. It became a shit show for Dallas. They kind of couldn't, handle themselves. They had 4 straight penalties in a row there in the second period where it was all just, they were all unraveling types of penalties. They really just showed that they were done in this series. Once all that happened, it was very clear that Vegas is, it's theirs to lose again. I don't think they lose game 4. I don't see how that happens the way things went with Dallas, the team. It just seems like it's Vegas's. And I think the Dallas fans kind of know that, the way that they, reacted on the ice. I'm sure you've seen something about that, Mike.
I mean, I thought it was insane looking at the Jamie Benn cross check, going back and looking at it. The fact that, and it was on Mark Stone, right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Which, I mean, people know my thoughts on Mark Stone if you listen to the show quite a bit. But bro legit held his face to the ice with his stick for 2-3 seconds after he was already down. It's like, what the hell are we doing here? No idea what was happening, but it's really unfortunate. Because when you look at Jamie Benn and his career, obviously when you go back to, I think it was 2015, 2016, he led the league in points with only 89, which is asinine in itself, but a very talented player. And then his last couple of seasons, not been as productive. The Stars overall haven't looked, I guess, the same, especially him and Tyler Seguin. But when you look at this year, he really revived it. He came back 78 points through 82 games. He was having a good playoffs, 11 points through 16 games. And then he goes and does this dumb shit. He's done for the season because Vegas has won in the series.
Yeah, man, it really is a shame. And then speaking of a shame, the way the Dallas fans just treated that after all this bullshit, after all, all the shit with that, them collapsing, just throwing, all the shit that they did on the ice, littering the ice full of beer and wrappers and jerseys, all that type of shit. That's a joke. You've seen people in the past, they throw a jersey on the ice, Florida scored again. They might throw a jersey on the ice after their team is really bad and they get frustrated. And I still think that's stupid, but it happens. But for the whole crowd to be just throwing beers and all that shit on the ice, that's just stupid. That's pathetic. That's embarrassing by a fan base. Dallas just has no hope. And it's a shame because I wanted to root for Dallas, but now I'm kind of just out on them.
And what do you know? It's Matthew Tkachuk who scored that second one. But
It was such a lucky break for him too. Just like a kind of weird bounce right out of the pucks up top, fired shot off the forwards, fucking shin pads, and then just right onto Matthew Tkachuk's stick as Freddie Anderson sprawled out to try to make the save, leaving the 5 hole wide open.
There you go. I think Dallas fans should kind of take advice from 13-year-old Mike. When my team lost in the playoffs, I would either punch a wall or go to the bathroom and cry and swear. You know when your mom yells at you, but you don't want to get yelled at again, so you're just like, motherfucker, and like you're really quiet, yeah. though. yeah, like go to the bathroom, cry, do that, and you're fine. You don't need to throw away jerseys that cost you over $100 out on the ice. Like, let's stop being too dramatic here. Take advice from 13-year-old Mike. Go to the bathroom, cry a little bit, swear under your breath, maybe punch a wall or two. One that's not going to break your hand, and one that you're going to be able to fix. But, like, let's chill.
Yep, I agree here. And Carolina's already unraveling. They're falling apart. They look absolutely rattled. Rod Brindamer is looking like he's just in pain standing behind that bench right now. So it's done. Game over.
Yeah, I feel for Rod the Bod. I mean, this Carolina team has been so talented. One of the best regular season performers over the past 3-4 years, but they just could never get over that hump. A lot of the times it felt like it was Boston that took them out. This year they didn't have to face Boston thanks to Florida, but now they're going to get smoked by Florida, which is unfortunate. I want to go back to Vegas and Dallas real quick and just talk about former second overall pick Jack Eichel. He's having himself a bit of a playoffs, a bit of a postseason. 16 points through 14 games. I always like to keep track of some guys that I have a soft spot for. Now, Jack Eichel, ever since he kind of went down with the injury stuff and the huge Buffalo discrepancy and all that kind of stuff, I really haven't kept tabs on Jack Eichel as closely as I did in the past. But being able to see Vegas continue on this long run, of course I'm going to keep tabs on them and having a good postseason so far.
Really, this year as a whole, like, he's just really kind of figured it out again. You know, just 1 point shy of a point per game this year in the regular season. You know, right now, combine all the games, he is above a point per game. And, like, he just looks happier, looks like a better hockey player. He looks like, you know, he is someone who, you know, belongs playing with this team after, you know, as you mentioned, a bunch of just unfortunate injuries that he kind of dealt with. Some high expectations he wasn't able to live up to early on, but it's, you know, he's bouncing back. He's not worrying about that anymore. It's kind of like a Taylor Hall thing where, you know, Taylor Hall, first overall pick, had some, you know, good hype really for a first overall pick, though has underwhelmed, but has become a very, very good, very stable pro. Someone that Boston relies on heavily. Jack Eichel's becoming an elevated version of that, where he's becoming a great pro, becoming a great leader. He's producing on the ice. He's playing strong, you know, strong enough in his own zone on top of providing that offense. Like, he's really found it, really put it together. And, you know, it's good to see. You know, I think part of that came with him just getting older and maturing and realizing that, like, you know, it's time to take it serious.
And I'm really hoping he continues to put stuff together and goes on and lives up to his expectations a little bit more with Vegas, because it's a kid that I loved coming into the draft. And obviously watching him and Austin Matthews in that one World Juniors championship, I mean, that was just peak American World Juniors for me. Like, so much fun. I remember, I think we were watching in my basement at one point. So a lot of good memories with those two names, and hoping for the absolute best out of those two.
I agree. I 100% agree. Florida is just, no, dude, they're on the penalty kill and they look 100 times better than Carolina. Like, this is just, I feel bad. Like, I feel kind of bad.
Yikes. Rod the Bod's going to have to give one hell of a speech when you head into first intermission, but we'll see if anything happens there. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, but on the other side of the commercial break, talk about the GM of the Year finalists, as well as a world championship check-in. Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with the DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. If you head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, head over to the NHL and Team Futures. There's some pretty good odds going on, with three of the biggest favorites in this year's NHL Stanley Cup playoffs being eliminated early on. We now see the Maple Leafs sitting atop the NHL championship odds. You look at the Oilers next, the Dallas Stars, and Vegas. Those round out your top four, while you have the underdog Seattle Kraken sitting at plus 2,000. Some pretty good odds out there. Make sure to head over, check it out, and place whoever you think is going to win the Stanley Cup. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for offer details. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Let's face it, with coffees starting at $5, yes, even without any customizations, and our bank accounts somehow always depleting, we are officially entering a dupe session. Most products do the same thing, but are priced differently solely based on the brand name. So a good duplicate, or dupe, is crucial for getting the highest quality at the best price. One dupe you definitely shouldn't sleep on, Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. With my student loans catching up to me, I head to Raycon.com. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of those more big-name tech brands out there. Raycon knows in this economy, every purchase needs to be perfect. They offer buy now, pay later options. Right now, you can pay as low as $18 at checkout. They have an easy and free return guarantee. They offer 2 years of product protection insurance for just a few bucks. They offer free domestic shipping and a flat fee international shipping. They have over 50,000 five-star reviews. My three favorite components of the Raycon earbud: the earbud's tap functions, noise isolation, and awareness mode. When I'm in the gym and my partner won't shut up, I just pop those bad boys into noise isolation and go to work. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/THPN. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings and Raycon. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. Chase, any big bets on the line tonight?
Nothing tonight, no. But it's funny. So Carolina scored. It's 2-1. 5:25 left in the first period, but I didn't place anything. I did get a text from my brother saying, you know, of course, I bet the under. This will be the one game all series that actually does go over. Yep. I laughed at that because that's just the kind of luck I've been having these last couple weeks as well. So hence why I slowed down the bets a little bit. But yeah, he's just he's just a little rattled. Speaking of the betting, I would like to say that I hope all of you hedged me and my series winners, because if you hedged me, then you guys would be making some pretty good money, because I'm going to go 0-2 again.
What was the over-under on this game?
I think it was 5.5, and right now we're sitting at 3. Okay. With 4 minutes, under 5 minutes left in the first. So there's still time.
Yes.
It could stop. Oh, Carolina's under breakaway. Okay, never mind. That's a penalty. Okay, don't call it. It's fine. All right, anyway, sorry.
I mean, Tyler's losing that. We all know that.
Yeah, he's done. He's hurt.
All right, my goodness, it's really getting to me today, isn't it? GM of the year. We have the finalists. Who do we got?
So, starting off, we have Bill Zito, Florida Panthers general manager, Don Sweeney, Boston Bruins general manager, and then Jim Nill, the general manager of the Dallas Stars. Those are the three finalists. I think we all know who's going to win that one. So we can just kind of move on.
All right. Sounds good. World championship check-in.
That is Don Sweeney, 100% getting all the votes though. I'm not a big fan of this award. I've talked about it in the past. I think it's a hard thing to say GM of the year. because like they're not making a ton of moves that are only on the now. Yeah, of course they're making moves to add guys right now, but at the end of the day, they're trading future assets, players, picks, whatever it might be, that kind of have to wait to see how things turn out. So if they did this, like gave it out once every 3 years, then like, you know, like the GM, like award, whatever they want to call it. So it's like, you know, like the, like how they have the Jack Andrew. I can't remember what the GM of like the year award's called, who's named after, but like, so it's, you know, awards given out every 3 years to the GM who's the best, you know, exceptional, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm trying to say? If they did that, I would like it a lot more because you can see how things play out a little bit better. But just, you know, really what this comes down to is a team that has success and their GM went out and added a bunch of players to the deadline. That's really what this award comes down to. But it is very clear that based off of what the standard is for this award, that it, like, he's got this thing locked up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be a long-term reward. Maybe a 3 year, every 3 years it gets rewarded or something. So I agree. It should be more long-term. And I mean, we talked about it after the Bruins lost, potentially brought in too many players, shook the room up a little bit too much. I mean, that's what happened with the Rangers. You bring in Tarasenko, bring in Patrick Kane, didn't work. So there are times, and I don't know if it's just in our NHL franchise modes in NHL 23, but when you do a lot of moves, it shakes up a lot of the chemistry and always makes you have to redo all the lines, which is annoying. But nonetheless, yes, going out there and bringing in a haul during the trade deadline doesn't always mean you're making the right moves.
No, it does not. And, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen, it's a very, very real thing. You know, for example, when I was in Saginaw, we had 5 first round picks on our first power play and they couldn't score because it's, you got too many talented players. You know, they want to pass it to the other talented players too much. So they don't move the puck as much, or maybe you get someone, they think they're too good and they fire the puck more. They'd be like, you know, like, we've got so much star talent, we don't need to worry about things, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a very real thing. You got to have that right balance. So bring in more guys just to boost up your star potential doesn't always work. And I think that's kind of what we saw.
Mm-hmm. All right. World Championship check-in, sitting in the quarterfinals right now, USA, a really generous side of their bracket. I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah. No, things work out pretty well for them. It should be a, you know, smooth sailing to the gold medal game, as long as they don't blow things here. But you know, right now, how things first match up, so it's a 16-team tournament, so the top 8 move on, the bottom 8 kind of stay back, you know, simple cut as dry as that. So the U.S. will be playing Czechia here in the first quarterfinal, and then Switzerland will be playing Germany in the second, so that was who was kind of between, was the U.S. and Switzerland, who was going to be the number 1 seed. You know, Switzerland, if they won their game yesterday, then they would have had it, but they dropped it, you know, so they had 6 wins. U.S. also had 6 wins, but they had the point advantage based off of the overtime loss or whatever. So USA, they got that number 1 seed, so they get the, you know, the much better luck of the draw. And there's some fun matchups to really look forward to, because with USA, Czechia, Switzerland, Germany, Canada, Finland, and Sweden, Latvia, you know, there's a couple teams that aren't, you know, generally in there. Like, you know, more often you might see a Slovakia get in there, or, you know, maybe you see, like, you know, every once in a while a Denmark get in there. But, you know, without Russia, without Belarus, excuse me, really without Russia, though, you start seeing kind of more and more teams of different countries' levels get in there, and it's cool to see.
Yeah, and you know, I love the Latvians, so seeing them in there is huge for me. Not sure they're going to have the greatest time against Sweden, but they made it, so I'm happy with that. Here's a question for you. Obviously, no one really wants Russia back in this tournament right now with what's happening over there with them, Ukraine. Obviously, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. But I think when you're looking at strictly hockey, and it's hard to look at that by itself with humanity going on in real life, but when you look at hockey just generally, Russia's one of those big teams. They're one of the teams that you're excited to see them match up against the U.S., excited to see them match up against Finland, Sweden, Canada. It's always an entertaining game. I mean, do we see Russia back in here at some point? Or is this like a get used to it? Because it'll be a long while before that happens.
I don't think it's very far off till they're back in. Like, I really do, because like international hockey is better with them. It's, you know, plain, simple, cut and dry. The hockey is better with them in it. And I get the politics of it all, and, you know, what the kind of what they stand for and what the IIHF stands for, you know, very contradictory things. But in terms of the hockey, it is better hockey. And for, you know, for the young kids, for the, like, you know, the U20s, the U18s, U16s, you know, it sucks more for them, for me, than it does for like the adults, whatever. You guys are getting paid hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars. I'm not going to feel as bad for you, but for these kids, you know, they, like the Matthew Mishkov, he works so hard. We never like didn't really see him in a full capacity at a World Junior tournament. Something that, you know, he definitely would have wanted to do, but you know, it is what it is. I think it'll be sooner than later that we see these teams get back in. Whether it's going to be all the teams, I don't know. But I would be shocked if it's another, like, even 5 years, really.
Okay. Now, looking at the bracket as a whole, what are our thoughts? I mean, we initially said U.S. should be smooth sailing to the gold medal game. Who do you expect them versing on a Switzerland-Germany? And then also other side of the bracket, who are we looking at coming out there?
So I think we're going to get, you know, like a you, I here's how I think the medal is going to go. I really think like USA is locking in the gold here. So I think no matter what, that's kind of who they're going to be, you know, like that's what the case is going to be. But in terms of what we're going to be looking at for the other medalists, I think we're going to end up seeing Canada in there. So like Canada's grabbing that silver, and then the way things have gone, like Switzerland's kind of, they've kind of earned a medal, and I don't see them, like, you know, getting the gold or silver. It just doesn't, for some reason, it feels like they'll win the quarters, but when it gets to the semis, like I think their luck's just going to kind of run out. So I do see a US Canada, you know, meddling situation. And then Switzerland is probably the other team that, I can kind of see happening.
Okay, cool. And US Canada, we'd love to beat down the Canadians once again. It's always fun doing it. So being able to see it for the gold, nothing better.
100%.
All right, we're going to go to a quick hockey name of the day. We've got old Axel Wemmenborn. Wemmenborn. There we go. I'm going to go with
there
the
V. There you go.
Wemmenborn.
I was going to roast you. Yeah, Axel Wemmenborn. You know, you can say like the E, like more, a little more like an A, but you're not going to get hate on for saying like that sound. So really, Axel Wemmenborn, he is a Swedish forward, 1992 birth year, 31 years old, 6 foot, 194 pounds, playing in the Hockey Allsvenskan, which is the second pro league there in Sweden. He spent some time over in the United States back in the 12-13 season, played in the USHL, but other than that, he's just played Swedish pro. Doesn't really have any international experience, just been kind of one of those, you know, steady, reliable pros. Played some time in the SHL, played some time in the Hockey Allsvenskan, been a little bit of both, but not a name that you're going to see sticking around a ton, but I really like the name Axel. So, you know, whenever I come across it, I like using it.
And a bit tricky if I wasn't a seasoned veteran by now with the old Vammon versus Wammon.
Yeah, I'm happy to see you come a long way.
All right, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you could, hit him with an outro.
So always want to thank you guys for listening. If you don't follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You follow Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at Hockey Podnet. That's at Hockey Podnet. While you're at it, go follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure you go to hockeypodcastnetwork.com. You can find all the pods in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. We'd appreciate it. Whatever you do, not forget to use code THPN when it's time for DraftKings. And do not forget to support our friends over there at Raycon.
Thanks so much for coming out. Talk to you next time.